Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 88 of Star Wars and Scotch, and it is also the conclusion of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
There's many
feelings to discuss today and
many
that we're going to address. But before we, Tim and I, do anything, by the way, I'm Kevin, he's Tim. We want to make sure that you have ordered your Summer Swells Nitro Cold Brew, which is available now, right now, at kingscoastcoffee.com. Now, we know you're still working through that darkness, and some of you got access to the GCX one that Tim just showed.
It's very yummy.
But there's plenty of you that did not have either of those. So go get that Summer Swells. It is on sale now.
Yeah, it's hot as balls right now. It's like being on the surface of Tatooine. So go get some Nitro Cold Brew and you know, get into the Summer Swells.
Yeah, we're in that weather where people come to Florida and they say, how do you live like this? I'm like, it's not like this all the time, I promise.
Yeah, it's just like when I, like, you know, when we go up north and it's cold, like, how do you guys do this? I'm like, nah, it's nothing. You know, it's adaptation's a crazy thing.
Forget about it. He's going to be doing a lot of Italian, American accent because he got out of the shower and his hair is all slicked. So
yeah, I slicked it back today. So, you know, I gotta get some gabagools and things later, you know.
Don Darkness over here.
Anywho.
So go over and get that Summer Swells Cold Brew, kingscoastcoffee.com. Yeah, we're not promoting GCX. That is weird.
Right? It's really weird.
It's really weird. It is very weird. But this episode, I'm gonna start off with the first thing that I've been wanting to say since I finished the episode, and it was, Liam Neeson, you damn liar.
Oh, dude. When that little Force ghost showed up, I was just, yes! Just screamed yes. Hands went up in the air. That was so good.
I've been here the whole time.
I was so happy about the reveal. We knew it. We knew he was there the whole time. It's just Obi-Wan just didn't know it.
Yeah, and they couldn't not have him. So he definitely, you really got to look out for that now. These actors are lying to keep secrets. I actually love it. It's great.
But now anytime someone denies it, I just assume they're in it. So now they have to say that they're in it for them to actually deny that they're not in it.
Oh,
it's
no,
be really confusing.
Yeah, your expectations are going to get shattered a few times with that. So that sucks. Well, it is what it is. But yeah, I mean, this episode had everything Tim and I said we needed to end the episode and the series.
Yeah, I mean,
literally.
Like, yeah, it literally covered everything. And it has set my expectations for more shows in the future.
It covered Owen's limp, Tim.
I know. I love that when he fell and he held onto his leg. I was like, well, that makes sense.
When that all started, I was like, oh, this is how Owen's going to get his limp from Reva.
But it explains so much as to why Owen was so protective of Luke. And it's just like he always felt like the crabby, just grumpy uncle, like the step uncle that or the stepdad. He was a very stepdad figure in episode 4. But just in those few moments, it really showed how much he loves him and how much he's like, no, that's my son. It just explains so much. And I tweeted about it and we'll talk about it, in more depth. But this makes episode 4 for me far more emotional than I ever thought it could be. All because of how this has set it all up. And we talked about it last week that I saw a cool little breakdown of different scenes from episode 4. And it makes sense. Like, Obi-Wan knew that the twins were safe. And so that last scene on the Death Star when Ben sacrifices himself to Vader, that scene is so impactful now. He's made sure Leia was safe, took her back to Bail, made sure Luke was safe. He's with Owen, but now they're growing up and it's time to fight the Empire and fight back. So when he saw that they were together, he knew that his job was done. And so that full circle coming all the way around and having that closure now is just so impactful.
Yeah.
I love it.
Even it solidifies Luke knowing who Ben is.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, old Ben Kenobi, the hermit who lives in the Dune Sea. Now that makes a lot of sense because he has met him.
Did you also love the hello there?
Hello there.
Because I definitely did the Leonardo DiCaprio thing. I was like, ah, he said the thing.
It set that up. It set up the Leia stuff perfectly. So, she knew why he would be the one she would call on, because he said, if you ever need me again, just you know where I am. I'm obsessed with Bail as a dad. I don't know.
I really like his character.
He just has the best dad vibes, the way he talks to her and looks at her, and you could tell he's just smitten with her. All are at this point.
As a dad to a little guy who is becoming a little Star Wars fan, I really want Leia to have her own kids show. I want the tales of Princess Organa as a kid, because she is just so much fun. I really didn't think that I needed her in this whole storytelling universe that is on Disney Plus, but she's fantastic. She really captures Leia's spirit, but she's so cute. I really, really like her.
There was one point where when he pulled Lola out, where I was curious if somehow Lola would get broken and that would lead to Lola becoming a part in C-3PO or so. I don't know, something repairing one of the droids and they would use Lola's guts. I don't know. But then Lola went back to Leia. So I was like, all right.
I love that she put that in her holster, though. I thought that was so cute.
Oh, my God. I did not realize that was her mom's holster in the last episode.
Wait. That's Tala's holster.
I thought that was, he said that was her mom's holster.
That was, it was Tala's holster.
Oh, I thought it
because
was
that was
holster.
Because it had the markings, and he said that Roken found it before they left.
Okay. I missed that. All right.
Yeah. So that was Tala's, and it had all of the stormtrooper marks on it for everyone that she killed.
That's what that inlay was. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now that makes way more sense.
But now I want to go back and look and see if that holster shows up anywhere else in the original trilogy of that holster was what she had when she was on Hoth. I don't know. Now I want to go back and look and see what Carrie Fisher was wearing. Because if she has a leather holster, then it's there's the fun little connect.
She has it in Return of the Jedi when they're on Endor.
There is a holster in Return of the Jedi, but I don't know if it's the same. Yeah. Okay. So there's got to be a brown one. So,
yeah. So I don't know. I googled Leia holster and I'm looking now.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we've got to start from the beginning, huh?
Whatever. We never do.
We never do. But the opening scene was just so emotional for me. The whole I don't know why, but every time that Ben and Leia have a heart to heart, it just hits me right in the heartstrings. And I think it's just because it's just the whole it feels like a dad to daughter experience. Mm-hmm. But that whole it felt like he was just breaking her heart, the whole I have to go. And she had this inclination that he wasn't coming back. And so like that right there was just so impactful. And again, when he meets back up with her at the end and he has this heart to heart and tells her about the characteristics of her mother and of her father, I'm just crying. I'm just like, this is so much. I just like that. All of those scenes, anytime that they have been together through the entirety of the series, I have just fallen in love with it more and more and more. And I didn't really realize that I needed like dad Obi-Wan.
He's that uncle grandpa figure that, you know, they're never going to have outside of him. So it's important, especially for Leia, I think, because it really bridges the gap with Leia's character. And, you know, we've spent the last decade or so really adding to Leia's story and making it more part of the saga. And that's important because she is such a major figure. And, you know, if you just look at the original trilogy, there's like that hint that she might have the Force or that she can use the Force.
Yeah. Man, they really now, gave it to her in episode 8, though. The Mary Poppins scene just does not sit well with me.
Well, the Mary Poppins scene, but I'm talking about the training flashbacks are more meaningful than the Poppins scene.
I agree.
You know, because that's her training with Luke, and I thought that was, you know, very important. So that part I'm fine with. The Mary Poppins scene I could do without. But that's a whole other episode. Yeah, no, then we're not going to get into the Holdo maneuver and the scientific. Don't start me. I will go off
sorry,
on a tangent.
Sorry.
But yeah, no, I think it's important for Obi-Wan to be that figure to her and for him to be in her memory, because now when stuff goes south in episode 4, you know, help us, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're our only hope, makes a lot more sense. Other than Bail being like, well, there's this old guy I know on Tatooine that could probably help. You know,
also,
now,
when Luke opens the door and says, I'm here with Ben Kenobi. And when she's like, Ben Kenobi, like, I mean, and so now, you know, in the storytelling that we've filled it all up, like that level of excitement, she's like, oh, my God, he's here. I haven't seen him in 10 years.
Yep. So it really ties it all together and makes it more. And it left room open if they did want to do a second series, you know, for other adventures to happen. Maybe he doesn't see Leia during those adventures and he's off doing other stuff.
I have to say, I don't think we're going to get another season.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. The way that this all ended, even though we didn't get to see like the trials and we didn't get to see like the really fun, like the stuff that you and I would like really love. The overall generic Star Wars fan doesn't really care. I don't think they care about those minute details. No. We understand that it happens. Like seeing Qui-Gon gives us the closure that we need to go, okay, he's on his path. We know that this is where it goes to get to the end.
I thought it was funny too. We got the Emperor as well.
And oh, it was so good.
It was Ian McDiarmid. And the best part was like, he basically was saying like, your feelings are betraying you, Lord Vader. And then Vader like sucked it up and was like, and then that pan out was just fantastic.
Okay, let's talk about this. I think we're going to get a Vader show.
I hope so.
I think the way that scene ends is them hinting at a Vader show, because when he goes and says like, I only serve you, Master, that was bullshit. He's lying to his face 100% because of the Vader comics. And so like, I think it would be silly for them not to capture all of Vader's crazy adventures. He does all this nutty stuff. Why not showcase it? The lightsaber action in this episode alone was phenomenal. Give us more of that. Give us the dark, gritty lightsaber just cutting through stuff and being pissed off Vader. I want that.
We got the YouTube lightsaber fight that you predicted.
Uh-huh.
Between the two of them.
It was so good.
It was so phenomenal. And, you know, Obi-Wan getting his full strength back and just teaching Anakin a damn lesson again. Oh, boy. I don't think have we ever seen Vader humbled like that outside of the Emperor in episode 6 in any form of media.
Getting his limbs chopped off as Anakin, but that was
as Anakin.
It. Yeah, but Vader actually getting his ass kicked like that.
I don't think we've ever seen that.
I mean, like, Ahsoka caught him in the face, but that wasn't really anything.
No, Obi-Wan beat him a lot.
We do need to talk about that, though.
That's what I said was going to happen.
But there's a detail, though, that I think is really, really interesting that I've noticed. There's a couple pictures. But as far as, like, combat goes, no. And that leads into the line of the last time that we were together, I was but the learner. or I was the Padawan.
Calls him master when he buries him.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, he still doesn't see him as superior to Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
The whole going Super Saiyan, I didn't think that I didn't think I needed that, but that was really, really cool to see him lead into his emotions, because that's what it was. It wasn't him like powering up. It was him tapping more into the emotional side. Like he was kind of, I don't want to say he was going towards, like, I guess he was leaning more into his passion, I guess. More of those, like those qualities that makes Obi-Wan who he is.
He was probably,
and so that was really cool.
I should have listened to Master Windu a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's not like he was going to the dark side, but he was leaning into those things that Jedi, you always say, are bad, you know, like to love and to have passion, to all those things, or attachment. And so it's like he is attached to the children, because he understands, even when he looks at Luke at the end, he's like, he needs to be a boy. Like that's him going against what he thought was the right thing to do in the beginning. And I think he started to understand, like, look at how it was with Satine, right? The ability to love something, to care for something again. You know, once Satine died and he lost Anakin, what was the point? You know, and once he leaned back into his emotions, it seemed like that is what he needed to go to the next level.
One point going back to Luke, you got to give props to Beru, because she was probably, if not more fierce than Uncle Owen, like she fought tooth and nail to protect him too. So, and she's not even related. Like, we know Owen's the step brother of Anakin. Beru married into this, and she's still, yeah, like, she's taking it very seriously and understands her charge. So props to Beru, because she fought like hell too to protect him.
She felt like, to me, she had a little bit of military training. I was like, who the hell is this woman? Like, we have to take position, she'll come at night, you know. I was like, oh, okay, she has military training, this is interesting. Like,
that's the same lady, Luke.
Yeah, right. She's just cooking away. She's like, everything's fine.
Yeah, no, she's a badass. She probably keeps a freaking blaster on her hip at all times now.
Does that make their death scene in episode 4, do you think they kind of fought their way out a little bit, or at least tried to fight their way out?
I'm sure the stormtroopers, like, it wasn't easy.
Right, exactly. So that's my thought too, is like, okay, it wasn't just some slaughter. Like in my head now, we don't see it, but they fought tooth and nail until the very end.
No, that was an awesome part of the show. And I kept going, like, how the hell are they going to get out of this? Obi-Wan's not even on the planet, you know? But Reva's better nature took over, because she didn't want to commit the same exact act that she was getting revenge for.
Yeah, that was interesting. And so it kind of plays into those rumors, I feel like, that we had talked about a few weeks ago, that she was supposed to die, but instead they allowed her character to live on so that she can be a part of something else going forward. And I can see that. I mean, like, she's definitely making a lot of waves within the industry, I think. She's a very strong female character. And, you know, she's gone through a lot recently with all the racist comments, which is absolutely terrible. And so I think, you know, good for her if she does actually get a more lead role in a following show, or at least gets to be a part of another show.
I mean, she could show up in Bad Batch. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of room for her now. The same as, like, we do have rumors apparently a Jedi Fallen Order show showing up. A Kyle Kestis could be getting his own TV show. I saw that rumor going yesterday. Who's the actor?
Cameron Monaghan.
Yeah. So he just apparently signed on for a live action Kyle Kestis show. And we know that this is right around the exact same time as Obi-Wan. We know Jedi Fallen Order 2 or Jedi Survivor is 5 years after the first one, which puts you right up against Obi-Wan. So for Reva to show up in, you know, Survivor, or to show up in a live action show with him, now makes a lot of sense. Also, Roken 100% is going to be showing up the Cassian Andor show.
Yep, I was just about to say that. They set Roken up for Andor like it was like a softball underhand. God. Like, here you go.
He just goes, I'm just getting started. It was like, he's going to be in the first freaking episode of Andor at this point.
Yep, I guarantee you he's going to be talking to Cassian very early on in that show.
I love his character, by the way. He's fantastic.
I love his character because he's flawed in a good way. He
very
is
much
not so absolutely like gung-ho, like, yeah, the rebellion against the Empire. He's scared because he understands the ramifications of what being a rebel means. And that is what I think we're going to see more of that in Andor too, is like, we've always been this like, yeah, screw the Empire. You know, everyone thinks of World War II and the people that fought against the Nazis in Europe. No, it was like underground networks and people were very terrified. Like, it was not this like open, like, yeah, let's fight against the Nazis. Like, no, it was not. It was very terrifying for those people. So I think, you know, and we glorify it, couch quarterback from years later. Like, look at these heroes, you know, da, da, da. Like when you're there and in it, like, it's absolutely terrible. Even Obi-Wan said he was scared on the ship to Leia.
But he knew there was something that he had to do.
So I think characters like Roken being real are important. And I like that Star Wars is getting into things like the mental health issues that have developed from what we've seen in the past. And they're getting into things like, you know, the rebellion was not this like, rah, rah, let's go get the Empire. It was like coordinated, subversive, guerrilla warfare, terrorism, as they called it in The Mandalorian, you know, if from the Empire's perspective. So Roken represents all of that to me. And that's why I'm excited to see where his character goes. He could show up in Bad Batch again. He's another one. He can show up in Andor. There's plenty of opportunities for Roken to, you know, be that person as part of the rebellion. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, 100%. Like, overall, like, this episode for me was just the perfect way to, it was like the bow, you know, it was just like, it was the perfect way to just to package it all up and just be like, nope, there you go. This is how we fix a lot of, I don't want to say fix. And I was thinking about this as I was getting ready this morning. I don't want to say that Lucas did a poor job at giving us the initial story for Star Wars. I think by accident, he told it in a disjointed way, so that more stories could be told later on. And if he truly designed it that way, then this man's a genius. If he designed it in a way, I don't think he did this on purpose, but it ended up working out for him really, really well. He didn't give a lot of backstory to these really interesting characters that just show up and you're like, oh, they're fun. And then now they're gone. And now, you know, so many years later, we are able to get those backstories that we've always wanted, that helps really give you the completed picture. And we've said this time and time again, Star Wars is a disjointed story and it's really hard to follow along.
Do you have the comic of the original story?
Of
the original idea?
No, I don't.
I gotta buy that for you. I'll get it free for your birthday.
Okay.
It's really cool. It changes how you see it. It goes in line with what you're talking about with Lucas. Like, this was not his original vision. Like, Zeb is based off of the original sketches for Chewie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. Zeb looks like Chewie looks in, you know, some of the original sketches and some of the, you know, Jabba was supposed to be a human.
He was. He was a human in episode 4.
Anakin was supposed to be the hero of the story. You know, the Jedi Knights were supposed to be way more like samurai. There was no Sith. All of this stuff. So he definitely stumbled ass up into all of this. And he said, I've heard him in interviews say, like, I never could have imagined it becoming this. And I think now, and even me, when I, you know, sit down and I get creative with, you know, some of the storytelling we're working on here, I think about world building, because that's the future of media. That's where it's going. Everyone is buying these IPs. Netflix bought the Narnia IP. Amazon owns Lord of the Rings. You know, Disney owns Star Wars and Marvel, and probably DC soon. So,
I mean, yay! I'm so hopeful for DC if that actually happens, because that means that DC Universe will finally get the treatment it deserves.
Yeah, because then Kevin Feige can just be the head of superhero storytelling instead of Marvel. Yeah, and I'd prefer that to, you know, like, psychopath Flash stealing 12-year-olds. Just get the guy from the TV show to play Flash. We'll be good. So, you know, that's the future of storytelling. And I don't think in 1970, whatever, when George started working on this, that this in 2022, that people have podcasts, fan conventions, they still care. they still care. Think about that for him. Like, even though he sold it and he got rid of it, you don't think he sits there and he's like critiques every little thing? Like, I wouldn't have done it that way. Maybe I would have. You know, him on the set of Mandalorian, we showed the pictures when we covered it, of holding Grogu.
Yeah.
It's like the beginning and where we are now meeting together. So, you know, even though he's not involved, I'm sure he's really happy where it did go. But this was never his intention from day one for it to get where it got today.
But it's so cool that now we get to experience it in the entirety that I feel like it was intended. Or at least it like now it feels like this was the intended way for me. Like now I'm just like, oh, this is cool. And before I used to hate it. Before I used to hate the whole idea of like, well, I've got to go read a book, or now I've got to go get a comic, or now I've got to go, you know, watch this or you know, read up on this on the internet. But it's just it just goes to show, at least for me, that I have come to, and maybe just because I'm getting older, I really enjoy these small segmented stories that we get to these characters that we've come to know and love over so many years.
That's the cover of the graphic novel. I'm going to get it for you for your birthday. So the we've talked about it before, but the storytelling is going to continue through Disney Plus. Like, movies will be few and far between now.
Because I'm happy about that.
I'm totally fine with that because they can't do the Marvel thing. The Marvel thing is movie, TV show, movie, TV show, and it works very well for Marvel. But Marvel is not Star Wars, and when Disney bought Star Wars, they assumed that they could do the same exact thing and it would just print them money. But now they have finally learned we need to tell these stories in a much different way, and the world reacts very well to live action Disney Plus being the home for storytelling, the animated stuff being where the real geeks can get their lore dumps and all of that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And then the comics and the books are like where the deep, deep, deep divers are going to go to get their fix. And then the movies will just be tent poles for more storytelling. That's how this is going to work going forward. Like, you're going to get, at some point, you will get a Revan movie. Probably in the 2030s would be my guess, or the end of this decade. You'll get Revan movies. But all of the storytelling that will come out of that will then go to Disney Plus and go, you know, animated, regular, like. They don't want, I understand the cadence now, and I understand why, you know, we haven't gotten a Revan movie or anything like that, because they're still telling the Skywalker saga and they still want to fill in the blanks. I know that years ago we were like, this is the goodbye to the Skywalker saga. It really wasn't. It's now we're going to fill in the blanks.
Well, it was a goodbye to the cinematic. It was the cinema, the movie experience of the Skywalker saga is dead. But now we get these awesome stories in a much longer format. We're getting essentially, oh my God, like what, like five movies essentially for one character, four movies.
When
you like compile all of the time together.
Yep.
So it's just, honestly, if we get a Star Wars movie anytime soon, I won't be happy about it, because I've just come to really, really enjoy these segmented episodes. It's just like, it just feels really, really good.
That's because you and I'll have to rent a theater to get the full experience that we want.
I guess so. It's just like, it just, I guess for me, I really like character development. And that's why it's always frustrating when people bitch about like the first movie of a trilogy. It's like, no, the first movie is going to be, it's going to be drawn out. It's going to be boring at times because you have to come to understand the character. You need time to feel compassion, and you need time to connect with that character. And so it, like, these episodes, like filler episodes, are great ways of having a lot of fun and also getting connected to the character without feeling like you got cheated, because you're like, okay, this episode out of the entire series wasn't great, but the entire series was fun as a whole. And for a lot of people, when they go and watch a movie, they're like, this movie sucked ass. I'm like, why? It's because it was boring. Well, what was boring about it? They talked too much. Well, why are they talking? Well, we were learning about the character, and you hated that. Like, that for me is so frustrating. And so that's why with these Star Wars stories, because they're so intricate, because they're so deep, because there's, you know, things like movies and comic books, I really feel like this is how you get the full Star Wars experience, is through this type of storytelling. And so it's kind of bring this subject to full circle. I don't want another Star Wars movie. I really don't. Like, I have no want for a Star Wars movie.
And if they do a movie, I'd rather, I'd want it to go to Disney Plus, not to theaters.
I don't want it in theaters. Yeah, it just, there's, it, this doesn't feel like it's getting the Hollywood treatment, you know?
The last Star Wars movie that I saw in a theater, I don't think you saw Rogue One with us, did you?
No.
That was the last one that I was like, I got that cinematic experience that made me feel like a kid seeing, you know, Phantom.
I would have to agree with you. Rogue One was, but I liked Rogue One because Rogue One was a completely different style of Star Wars storytelling. It was dark. It was adult. It felt like it was meant for adults the entire way through. It didn't feel like the cartooniness of the prequels. It just, it felt unique and different. And I think that's why we felt so different about that compared to like Solo, or even like Episode 9. So,
well, it was all new characters too. We didn't know any of them, and that, and that's what Taika Waititi's movie is going to be. He's like, you know, I actually have the quote right here. He said, "I don't think I'm any use in the Star Wars universe making a film where everyone's like, oh, cool, that's Chewie's grandmother. I would like to make something new. I would like to take something new, create some new characters, and just expand the world even further."
See, now that's to me, that's cool, because then from that movie. From that movie then stems more shows.
That's what I mean about the tentpoles. Right, the movies are now going to be the tentpoles, and then the storytelling will surround those movies, and then it will make the movie more meaningful. To your point too about, you know, folks in the, when you begin a trilogy and they're like start complaining about story and stuff. That's the one thing I fear with the new Game of Thrones show and Rings of Power coming out.
Yeah.
Is that these shows are going to be multiple seasons. And Game of Thrones right off the bat is going to get judged off of its last season, even though it's years in the past and, you know, has nothing to do with that. It's different directors and different showrunners, but people immediately are going to be like, oh, I don't have an order. And then Rings of Power, that's a whole other can of worms, but it's going to be the same thing.
Where's Frodo?
But the thing with Rings of Power too is, and this comes back to Star Wars, is there's so many new characters that you have to meet in Rings of Power. Yeah. So many new ones, because Tolkien just like, he's like, here's new character that I am introducing you to.
Yeah.
Not going to give you much backstory, but if you read this encyclopedia of Middle Earth, you will get all the information you need.
And the Silmarillion is rough.
Right. But that, and you know, it goes hand in hand with Star Wars Star Wars, I would say, is a more general level, but you know, like you said, with Vader, the Vader show now makes sense because now people that have not consumed any other media have seen a side of Vader that they've never seen before. And they're like, oh my God, he's a badass. And now we'll talk about the helmet scene in 1 second. Now that you've seen that, that takes it even further, because now a Vader show makes sense, because now we can tell the stories. They can take from the YouTube fan video where he goes and visits Padme's tomb on Naboo. You know, you could take from the comics where he's meeting Dr. Aphra and, you know, hunting for Sith relics and all of this stuff and traveling around and on his own agenda and his own business. Because now, like you said, what he said to the Emperor was absolute horseshit and a half. Dude.
Oh my God.
If you don't think the Emperor knows that too, like, please, the Emperor knows he's bullshit.
What's so cool about the Emperor right now is that he's doubting everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone is against him. He's going through the same thing that you see in history time and time again with these crazy leaders and dictators. And at some point the power goes to their head and they think that they're going to have power struggles amongst their ranks. It's nuts. And so it's perfect. It's just great storytelling.
So the helmet scene.
Oh God, Kevin.
It happened exactly like I said it would. Once he started throwing the rocks, I was like, the mask's gonna come down off something. So
did you notice what side of the mask got cut off?
It would be the left side of his face.
Okay. Do you know what side of his mask got cut off when he fought Ahsoka?
No, I didn't look at that.
Okay, in this fight, the left side gets cut off.
Okay.
In the Ahsoka fight, the right side gets cut.
Okay.
What happens when Anakin and Luke say goodbye?
The whole thing's off.
Entire mask is off.
I see what you're saying.
What did Obi-Wan and Ahsoka both try to do that they couldn't do?
Turn him back.
What did Luke do?
Turn him back.
That's when he was Anakin again.
I agreed. Agreed.
I think it's a little bit deeper when it kind of goes back to your whole like the eye changing and whatnot. They weren't able to do that in this. They
used lighting.
He wasn't fully changed, right? He wasn't at that point that Ahsoka sees him. So I think what happened there is you still get that full Anakin. When he sees him, he's Anakin. You know, and that whole apology, I lost it, dude. I cried when he apologized.
Oh,
and
that
just
was rough.
Ewan's face captured it all again. Ewan has done a phenomenal job of just capturing emotion with his face. And that is just the signs of a phenomenal actor. And so like that entire apology was it hurt because at the end, Anakin was gone when he said. And so that entire sequence makes so much more sense. And it's not Ben talking in riddles. It's Ben talking like he's saying what Anakin told him. Anakin's dead. I killed him. When Ben is talking to Luke in his house and says that he killed your father, he's right. He did, because that's what Anakin told him on that at that meeting. And so it's just like, again, it just full circles back into it. And we are all like, oh, Ben just talks in riddles. No, Ben, he wasn't talking in riddles. He was talking from someone who's still facing or going through the emotions of losing someone.
Yep.
And so, you know, Vader killed Anakin. Yep. So I thought that was really cool. I saw that picture comparison. Someone had put like the right and left, and I was like, oh shit, that. And then you think about it, the helmet's completely gone when Luke turns him back and he's Anakin once more. So yeah. I thought that was really, really cool.
I liked how they played with the lighting, because you can't really do the eye color IRL and make it as noticeable.
Oh, but his eyes were amber. It was really cool.
Oh, no,
cool.
You saw the amber, but they couldn't do the color switching like they did with Ahsoka. So I also think
that he wasn't Anakin then. When Anakin saw Ahsoka, it was a completely different experience than when Anakin saw Obi-Wan with the mask off. I think with Ahsoka, it was more so that whole, he got it from the other point of view. It was him, the master, to his apprentice, whereas he is the apprentice to his master. And so it's that whole like it's that father and son kind of thing where he's so pissed off at him, and he can't see anything but him. And when he saw Ahsoka, he experienced all those connections, the love and compassion and whatnot. Yeah, exactly. He was Anakin
in his mind.
He gave back into the light for that quick second.
Right, because with Obi-Wan, you know, and he did say, you know, you didn't kill Anakin, I did.
Oh, that was so good.
But with Obi-Wan, you know, that's the reason he's in the suit in his mind. Whether it's true or not, you know, that's a whole other debate. But with Ahsoka, you know, that's your Padawan. You were responsible for her. So on one side, he can say Obi-Wan was responsible for me. But on the other side, he was responsible for her.
Yeah, that was Snips.
Yeah, so I'm sure it hurt more with Ahsoka than the anger he had for Obi-Wan.
Oh, for sure.
And then obviously Luke is his son, so that's going to be a whole other can of worms. So it was interesting the way they did the lighting, and I think they did it well with what he was saying and when his lightsaber was on and off, and you know how they shaded his face or colored his face with the lighting. So that was a good way to do it. And have it make sense. I thought it was amazing that Obi-Wan literally kicked his ass again.
It was good.
And they even did the high ground nod when he buried him, because Anakin was standing up there. You know, like, I thought they were going to make a high ground comment.
Yeah, now I have the high ground.
I was waiting.
That would have been really
like
good.
But, you know, they just did nods constantly with that. Hello there, the Emperor, Qui-Gon. So, and it was also, yes, Paul just brought up that he did do his traditional lightsaber stance.
Yeah, he did the two fingers out and everything. Yep. It was really good, and it was cool when he went Super Saiyan. You know, even like there was several moves that you saw him use in Episode 3, like the spin behind the back, and even just the elegance of the fight was just so Obi-Wan, and like it was very, very fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, at one point he I thought he had him, because he used the Force to like hold his lightsaber in place, and then Obi-Wan did that thing behind the back spun, and they like crossed again. I was like, oh, this is a good one. Again, it didn't take the cake for me. It's not number one.
No, it's definitely top five. It is very good. A Vader fight will never be elegant, because of just the way that he is, the way that he has to fight, because of the way that it was dictated in the original trilogy. You have to hold true to the way he fights, like Luke in Episode 6. It's a lot of heavy strikes. It's not pretty. You're not going to get flips like you do with Maul or Ahsoka. And so in a live action, especially with these older gentlemen, as they are, you also have to add into the fact of, you know, it needs to feel believable for when they go into fighting in episode four, right? Like episode four is just two guys just kind of just like tapping at each other because the theory is they're playing mind games at that point. So like that's the thing is, like, I think they handled that fight in a way where it was very sexy. It was very attractive. It was like, it was really fun to watch, but it still held true to that style that kind of carries across into when we see them fight again in episode four.
Finn really liked the episode, Tim.
Oh, FN2187.
This is my puppy. His name is Finn, FN2187. Tim is the only one that calls him by his FN code every time he walks in my house. Mm-hmm. Everyone else calls him Finn. Tim calls him
I have to address him by his Imperial name.
So this is Finn. He's my my Star Wars dog. It's because he looks like a stormtrooper, if you can't tell. He's black and white for you audio listeners. Where does this series stand for you in all of the Disney Plus series that we have now? Like, is it your favorite? Is it just up there? I don't like rating things.
Yeah.
But this one was special.
This one's different. You know, it's not Mando. It's not Boba Fett. This was a very special series. For me, this is essentially a movie. We got an Obi-Wan movie. And so I will hold this up there as probably one of the best pieces of Star Wars content that we have ever received. It's just it was perfect. I tweeted about it. I said that the Obi-Wan finale in of itself is a masterpiece. Deborah Chow can direct any piece of Star Wars content and just make it amazing. In my opinion, I loved every episode that she's ever done for Mando, and for her to take on something so big as Obi-Wan and give it the treatment that it deserved. You know, it's like Star Wars isn't a religion, but it has a lot of passionate people that love it to death. And so I think that she and Dave Filoni just came in and just gave it the reverence it deserved. And I love it. Like, there, like, honestly, this will be something that I will add into my Star Wars watch. Like, when I want to watch the entire Star Wars story, there are, like, I could skip over like Clone Wars, I could skip through a lot of Rebels, but Obi-Wan will always be something that I will add into the lineup, because this is just, it's a perfect story. And it's just like when Rogue One ended and it's the scene from episode four and we're just like, oh, they did it. It's just it's a perfect drop off into the movie. This is a perfect drop off into episode four as well. This is just another piece of Star Wars storytelling that is just a must for Star Wars fans.
Agreed. And now we have Andor to look forward to, but we don't have to wait like 7 months. Like, it's around the corner. Away. It's 2 months away.
Yeah.
Follow me here. Andor is Friday. I think it comes out on a Friday.
Sure.
Game of Thrones comes out that Sunday.
Not doing spoiler cast for Game of Thrones.
No, I'm talking about for my pure enjoyment.
Got it. Okay.
Ring of Power is literally a week and a half after that.
And Kevin, you might have to go see a doctor if your nerd. I'm gonna have a nerdgasm,
Tim. It's gonna be serious.
Yeah.
If it lasts for more than 4 hours, it could be a problem.
The one thing that I'm worried about with Andor is that Obi-Wan has set the bar so high. What happens next? Like,
new
they
characters,
have
the, I won't say new, not characters that we don't have much story about do way better when they first launch.
Sure.
Mandalorian is proof of that. People want stories that don't include people we know.
Yeah, so we'll They're get Haja.
Right, we're starved for it.
Yeah,
like, that's what people want. They want more Star Wars, but they don't want it to be surrounded by Luke Skywalker. Obi-Wan was the exception because Vader was in it.
But everyone loves Obi-Wan. Like, he is, like, and a lot of people who grew up watching the Clone Wars, you know, like, and that's a big reason of it, is that Obi-Wan's character became this icon you know, this icon that people fell in love with because of Clone Wars, because he's just like his character in that is just phenomenal. And they were able to carry that across into live action.
I think Andor is going to do well. It won't do what Obi-Wan just did. I mean, like, you have star power there and nostalgia and all things that Andor could never even do. So I think that the sell is that it's going to be a bunch of new characters in a familiar location, in a situation we know, but a story we've never heard before.
Yeah.
Again, it's going back to what I said earlier in the episode about the rebellion. Like, these heroes are glorified from World War II, because in case you didn't notice, a lot of the inspiration for Star Wars, the Empire, and everything stems from what was happening in Europe during World War II. So you have this, but we've never seen the nitty gritty. We've never seen how ugly it got. You know, and Cassian says in Rogue One, "I've had to do terrible things."
Yeah,
we are going to see the terrible things that he did, you know, to save people. And again, it goes back to what the Imperial, the First Order, is it First Order yet? No, they're not First Order yet. The Imperial officer says to them in the ship in Mandalorian, when he calls them a bunch of terrorists. Like,
yeah,
you're going to see that play out
in
Andor. And that's what I'm excited for, because it's going to be that whole side of Star Wars that we know what happens. We know how it ends, but we've never seen the story play out. And that is, I think, going to be the hook for people in the way that Mandalorian hooked him, where it has nothing to do with the Force. It has nothing to do with lightsabers. It's going to be about, you know, crushing fascism, which is a hot topic right now.
Yeah. And
that's what everyone's going to be all about. So yeah. I'm excited for it. And I think it's going to do very well personally.
So I think we'll definitely see Haja and Roken again in Cassian. I think that's where we'll see them is in Andor.
I could see that.
I mean, Hodge's character, I mean, like, he's fantastic. And we really only got to see him for, like, what, like, two episodes?
We got to see him, like, play out as Kumail Nanjiani, you know, as an actor. We got to enjoy him for one episode. The rest, it was kind of just him paying penance for what he had done.
I'm also ready for him to, like, take off his robe. That guy is swole. He's ripped. Did you see what he looked like for Immortals?
He got ripped for that movie.
Just real quick, sidetrack. His workout regimen, or his diet, was phenomenal. They put him on a dirty bulk. So all he had to do, he could eat whatever he wanted. They had to make sure that he got 40 grams of protein every meal. So he just ate trash and also had protein. So he got really, really fat and then cut. And this guy just turned into a freaking monster. It was just, the transformation was wild. So I think
he hated it.
Yeah, he said it was terrible, but a bulked out Haja would be awesome in Andor.
He has a podcast with his wife. I've listened to it for years.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah. He just changed to a new one during pandemic. They called it Staying In with Emily and Camille. They've had podcasts together for years and I've listened to it. But yeah, he hated getting ripped for that role. As many
was
people
fun,
do.
Though. Getting fat was okay.
I mean, yeah. I'm working on that now. I'm cultivating mass.
Nice, dude. Aside from your bulk.
Yeah, man. I've actually eaten really well, and it's the only reason I haven't gotten fat during all of it. Andor, I think is going to be a huge hit. I think my only worry is what's happening to Ms. Marvel now. Does Andor get buried by Rings of Power like halfway through?
I don't think so.
We'll see.
I think the Star Wars fandom is, like, we always say it's a Venn diagram. Like, yes, it does intersect with a lot of other shows that are going on right now, but Star Wars fans are pretty damn loyal. And I think a lot of people will connect with Andor because they saw Rogue One. So I think it's going to be fine. I think Ms. Marvel isn't doing hot because it's not a primary Marvel character. We've seen that, like, only the primary characters that we saw on the big screen are doing well. All of these ancillary characters are, they're not getting the love I feel like they deserve.
Moon Knight
at the same time,
very well.
But a lot of people knew the actor. Like, he was, I forget
Star
his
Wars.
Name, but
Oscar
yeah,
Isaac.
He's Oscar Isaac was in Star Wars. He's in Dune. Like, I think everyone was excited to watch Moon Knight because of him. And then they got hooked to the story.
I think Ms. Marvel, too. I haven't watched it yet because I'm still three shows behind. but I think Ms. Marvel will play out. It's very similar in a Star Wars storytelling way. In the bigger picture, Kevin Feige announced yesterday that they're going to reveal the next big MCU arc. So whoever the new villain is going to be, it might be Kang, we don't know. And, you know, the storytelling that's going to take place over like 10, 15, 20 movies to culminate the same way that we did with Endgame. So we'll see what that's going to be like. And I think she'll play it, probably play. Because that, to me, that's what they're doing. They're setting up the next crop of Avengers.
Well, sure. Yeah, like you have Kate in Hawkeye. And like I liked that because I thought he got it. I think they closed off his story really, really well.
And he was done being Hawkeye. Like he's.
Yeah. And that, but that was the whole point. It was, I thought it was funny because like Amy and I went and watched it. We're like, this is great. Why did it get shit on? And it's just, I think it was just timing. I think that's really what it came down to. And a lot of people just didn't care about that story. But to your point, I think they will care about that story once these people show up on the big screen.
Oh, let me go back and watch Hawkeye again.
Exactly. You know, or let me go see Ms. Marvel and see what Kamala is all about. So.
And that's the beauty of streaming television is, you know, even with Star Wars now, be like, oh, you like the fight between Obi-Wan and Vader? You should go watch Rebels so you can, you know, you can experience Ahsoka and Vader in the same manner. Especially now that people know who Ahsoka is. That's another big thing.
Yeah.
It's exciting to see where we're headed. Bad Batch, hopefully before the end of the year as well. We haven't heard a date yet, I don't think, but. That could be also the last bit of content that we get this year before Mando comes out in February, I think they said.
Yep. February of next year.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got plenty of Star Wars coming and, you know, new High Republic book. I'm still hanging out with Thrawn and Anakin looking for Padme.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that gets really good. I want to go and get the journals of Obi-Wan because I want to go through more of that because I feel like there's going to be some. Like, especially like now that we've gotten to Qui-Gon, I want to know what happens next. And then I need to get caught up on Vader comics too. So like for me, those are the two things that I want to focus on while we're kind of like in this little Star Wars lull. And then I got to finish Ascendancy as well. And Brotherhood. Yeah. Oh my God, there's so much Star Wars stuff to do.
Yeah, I tried reading another book and I was like, I don't have time. I got to go back to Star Wars. So
I've got some homework.
Yeah, I want to do some more Vader comics after this as well. So maybe we'll touch on that next week.
But that's so exciting. Like this episode for me has like reignited my want to go get caught up on that material because like there's so much story left to tell.
Yep, agreed. I mean it's huge. And now I mean, like you said at the top of the show, now Reva's out there somewhere in the mix. So like there's like I don't want to say Inquisitor Civil War, but there's a rogue Inquisitor out there. And that makes things exciting for the Inquisitory. And we also don't know how the Inquisitory ends. That is one of my biggest questions in all of Star Wars. How do they just disappear at some point before A New Hope. So what happens? So I'm really,
yeah. Like why didn't they want to rebuild the program during Rebels? Yeah.
Does Vader get angry one day and just slaughter them all? Like, you know, I don't know. We'll hopefully see at some point in the near future, but, thank you for listening, watching Star Wars and Scotch. We appreciate you. We'll be back next week for episode 89, where I guess we're going to be talking about comics and books because that seems to be what Tim and I are going to be up to this week. I have my homework cut out for me with the Vader comics. I want to catch up on those. But you can check out Timmy's Darkness429 everywhere on the internet. You can watch him stream on fb.gg/Darkness429 Monday through Friday, 9 a.m.-ish Eastern Standard Time. Everything I do is on raredrop.co. We are Star Wars and Scotch. You can follow us on Facebook or you could follow us on Twitter, Star Wars Scotch. You could go to Rare Drop Entertainment on YouTube and check out our show and all the other shows on our network, Broman Show, Comics. Comics has a lot to talk about lately, too. At JCX, they revealed one of the new Star Wars comics. I believe it was a few panels. I was walking by. I couldn't really hear. I was
looking at us.
Star
Wars drops.
Yeah, we got
GCX.
Permission from Marvel. It was wild. So make sure you're listening to Matt and Frank over at Comics. And as always, we thank you. Make sure you get your summer swells, kingscoastcoffee.com. Nitro Cold Brew is out right this second, meaning as soon as you hear my voice, go and get it because it will probably be gone if you wait.
Don't worry.
Have a great one. And as always, may the force be with you.
That's my line.
You don't get to say it every week.
Why not?
Because I get Say it sometimes.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big.